just want to make a couple announcements quick. Our mission is to share biblical truth, expose error, and provide encouragement to stay on the narrow path. If you are a new listener, I just want you to know that. And then we also have a Roberta Morrison 2 backup channel. I haven't really pushed that much, but in case we get kicked off of here, we have another one. And if you'd like it and subscribe and share, it actually helps us be seen more, because the little games they play nowadays, especially for what I'm preaching, I need you all to help me. And thank you for those that are helping. We appreciate it so much. Okay, so interesting. Christianity is shifting, and it's been in a shift for quite a few years. I don't even want to tell you how long it's been, but to feelings, and from faith to fantasy, signs and wonders. And I might share a little bit about some of the revival, or the big revival, the laughing revival that I came out of. And I was there firsthand just to say, there's always an agenda, and people that are hungry for the Lord and naive, and they think, well, if everybody else is endorsing this, it's got to be right. Yeah. I've been there, and so I'm coming from a righteous man having fallen seven times rises again. Each time we rise, we have more wisdom. And the problem with a lot of people, and myself included back in the day, you don't want to hear negative things. So if you think it's a move of God, you want to be in it, you want the excitement, you want that high. I was invited by some front name women preacher, probably the best known woman preacher in the world. And she was a very close friend of mine at the time. And I was invited. They paid our hotel, did everything. This was back in the 90s. And I thought, well, you know, I trust this person, so this has to be God. And that's the first thing, is just because other people endorse it doesn't mean it is. And there was a real spirit that was there at those meetings, and everybody just started laughing, shaking, doing all these different things. And the experiences were real. They were real. I can't say they were fake, because I experienced it myself. But I will say now, after been through it, that it was not the Spirit of the Lord. Right. It was another spirit. Right. It was another Jesus. And it's also another gospel. Mm-hmm. And that was heartbreaking for me to come out of, because these were all my friends. And I grew close to a lot of these people. And they preach a lot about love. But when it comes right down to it and you need help, I don't see a whole lot of love in this movement at all. It's either go along or get cut off. And... but anyway, we were into signs and wonders, and the Bible warns us about following after signs. Well, we didn't think we were. We thought that was a good thing. But I'm saying all that to say, you've got to be able to test the spirits, and you've got to be teachable, because there was one pastor friend of mine, she's passed away now, but she warned me about it. She warned me about this movement, that it was... you know, she didn't give me enough facts, but she's the one I remember that she warned me that it wasn't of God. And I just thought, how could it not be of God? All my friends are in it. And at the meeting that we were invited to was all the big mega church pastors. Everybody that was who's who in the charismatic zoo was there. They were all there. And so you look around and you think, you know, this person's being endorsed by this person, and all this. So we have a tendency then just to let down our guard and just yield to that spirit. And that spirit was a different spirit. And what happens when you start going after these signs and wonders, there's something inside of you that despises the Bible. I mean, it's very subtle, but when they start preaching on all this and you want the signs and the wonders, you want the laughter to come, you want someone to get struck dumb or something, and you don't want to hear preaching. You want to experience and encounter things. And that's the warning that I have for what I see coming on the horizon that's actually here now, is that we've changed from Christianity to encounters and to experiences, because we have to get the next high. You have to get the next high. And then there's been a lull, and these churches have to get going again. They have to get more money. They got to get more people back again. So, being that I've come through this and lived through it, it took me many years to come out of it, It causes damage. It damages your relationships because some people think it's of God and some don't. It causes church splits, and you think that's the price you have to pay for a move of God is a split. And it on and on and on and goes. I wasn't planning on getting all that right off, but this shift is the counterfeit revival. It's a, they call it revival, but it's a counterfeit. And amazing, God can use anything. I mean, God can get people saved. He can get people healed. He can do whatever he wants to do because people are hungry. But that doesn't mean it's a real move of God. There's a lot of, there was a person there that's from another country, and he goes, this is white witchcraft. And I said, what is that? And they said, I don't know, I experienced it in my country. So they were not into it at all. But that person pointed to him, and he got flown up and struck dumb on his face. He said, that's what we do with mockers. And I look back, and at the time I thought that was funny, but I don't think it's funny now. That's not Jesus. God's not going to, and it constantly was preached, if you disagree with this, you know, you're blaspheming, you're this and that. And it was all these threats all the time if you didn't go with what was happening. And of course, young as we were at the time, spiritually, we didn't want to quench or grieve the Holy Spirit. We didn't want to put him in a box. And that's what they always say. This is the way they come off. And let me just tell you, it wrecks families. It's really caused a lot of bad fruit. And by the fruit, we shall know them, not by the gifts. Right. And we get in trouble when we look for gifts and wanting that emotional high. It stirs up your emotions. And then we were taught not to use our minds. Yeah. Don't use your minds. Don't think about it. You know, that this move of God's going to bypass your head. And just, I'd always tell people, get out of your head. Get out of your head. You're in your head. Just yield. Oh, just, and I'm saying that because I sense another revival coming. And we'll get into that. But the Bible does not say that a godly revival will sweep the earth before the return of Christ. It says in Matthew 24:4, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and show many great signs and wonders. Great signs and wonders. And remember, the enemy can counterfeit anything that God can do. He's a counterfeiter. That's why James and Jambres in the Old Testament, they, you know, tried to perform those mighty acts and things. And that's in there to let us know. The witchcraft and the New Age, all these different things, they have a spirit that goes with it. And the Bible says, test the spirits. So it's a spirit. And it puts you into different feelings and, you know, uncontrollable things happen. You think it's, God's not going to, we're supposed to be in self-control. But this move of God took you out of control. And great signs and wonders insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So the Bible says that Jesus will return after the great falling away. There's coming a great falling away. What's it falling away from? Truth. And this is what's got to be our cry. We want truth. We don't need popularity. We don't have to be who's who. We don't want to grow. I mean, there's so many games that are going on and growth and this and that. We want to speak truth, and we want to get truth out there while we can. So let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come. It will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped. Now remember, the enemy wants to be worshipped. He was Lucifer, and he's got all those instruments inside of him. He is the musician. He was the musician in heaven, so that he wants that worship for himself. So that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth. Just think of that, the power that God really has. When this whole thing's over, God's just going to with the breath of his mouth and destroy. We're in a testing ground right now. Are we going to choose to follow false signs and wonders? Or are we going to choose to follow the next spiritual high? Are we going to, you know, like a little plugger, day in and out, day out, whether I feel like it or not, I'm going to serve the Lord. Every day I'm just going to be obedient. I'm not going to chase all around the world for Jesus is here, Jesus is there. The Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth. We have to love the truth even if it is something we don't want to hear. Because at that time when all this was going on and people were questioning was it God or not, I didn't want to hear that. I wanted to be in what God was doing. I wanted to be right there, and I really thought I was. That's what deception is, until later on when I started seeing the Kundalini spirit. The Kundalini in the Hinduism made people act the same way in these revival meetings, and they weren't Christians, but that same spirit was there doing the same thing to people. That was a scary day. The love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Chapter 2, 3 through 12. And that is in 2 Thessalonians. So all these things are there, and to me it's funny that no one wants to preach on those. I never had any of these scriptures taught to me. In all the 35 years, I was under a lot of these teachers. Never any of these scriptures. And the last big thing the enemy's going to do, the Bible says, is deception. Deception, deception, deception. And in Matthew 24, he said, let no man deceive you. Let no pastor deceive you. Let no professor deceive you. Let no president deceive you. It can come in any way. And remember, we're not of this world. We're living in it, but we're not of it. So when the world promotes something, you better be careful.
That's right.
And that's what happened with this last revival. It was promoted everywhere by everyone on television. It was just like everyone got a blurb, the whole world. Big red flag. So the apostles and the prophets of today contradict scripture. They add to it. They subtract from it. And they reinterpret it. This is what I shared last week. I just wanted to highlight it again. They preach their own dreams and visions as thus saith the Lord. Everybody has a divine revelation.
Yeah.
Just go on YouTube or go on Facebook and the Lord gave me this and the Lord gave me that and this and that. And the Lord's really confused if he's talking to all these people and contradicting himself. But he's not going to be contradicting himself. They have transferred authority from God's word to themselves. This is the big thing. The authority has switched. We no longer, many people do. It's hard to find preachers that will preach the truth without the emotionalism, without the worship that's going to get you emotionally, all these different things. The enemy has been working on the church for a long time. And you can go into a church now, big mega church. It looks just like a bar. It looks just like the culture of the world. This is what his plan has been, to bring down the church, not to erase it or eradicate it, work through it. To work through it, to get people deceived. And that's why this is the day we have to get saved. We have to make sure that, you know, people are really genuinely getting saved. Because after these moves go away, people are devastated. They're depressed. They want that high. They want that feeling. And they can't get it again. And a lot of them just go back into the world. And then some of them just feel like, well, they just took my money. Some of these revivals, they spent so much time on. I've never been one that likes a preacher that gets up and talks for, I mean, you know what? If people know what they're going to give, they either are or not. So if you talk for an hour and an hour and a half and you bully people, I'd just say, you know what? Take it back, what you were going to give. God doesn't act that way. He's not going to condemn you and force you and manipulate you and try to make you feel guilty and your cat's going to die if you don't do this. I've seen it all. So this is the great authority transfer. It's no longer scriptures. They are setting the stage for the greatest revival of all time, or is it the greatest deception? And it's hard to find people nowadays on this page that really want to love truth and just say, I'm going to bypass what the world is saying. Yes. Because, boy, I tell you, they get you through your emotions. They get you to laugh. They get you to cry. And then you think it's real because it's real to you. But you don't know about their other spirits. Test the spirits because the spirits are real. The voices are real. Not every voice that speaks to you is from the Lord. And once you open up one door, it's easy to get deceived and keep going down other doors. And that's why a lot of these movies bring false deception with it, that these teachings are also error. And just I'm just like, okay, what's the agenda that's coming now? What are they pushing to take down another truth or another doctrine? You have to be watchful and prayerful and not just so gullible. Again, Warren Smith wrote a new book out, The Evangullibles. And that's it. We've been taught not to question anything, not to test it, not to judge it. And there are some that are mean, and they are really critical, and they're not, you know, we're not talking about that. We're talking about staying in the middle of the road. But the greatest threat arises from within. It's not without, it's within. It's going to come in the name of Jesus. It's going to come as Christian. The Antichrist is going to come as Christ, but he's going to be against Christ, in the name of Christ. False light. The angel comes, or the devil comes as an angel of light. He comes as light also. So that's why we have to have leaders that are willing to tell truth. If all the pastors in the world, all these would tell the truth, wow. Instead of, well, I got to make people happy. We don't want to lose that board member. I don't want to offend them. Can you imagine if all the leaders in the world would not compromise? We could change this world fast. But the pastors, many of them, just like Judas, have been sold out. So we're in a great falling away from truth. I don't care what they say is revival. Is it based on truth? Where people are seeking signs and wonders and encounters. Now the big thing, someone was saying, close to us here, saying that they're having these prayer meetings, and they said, save space for encounters and partying. It's like, okay, what's that? Well, then that's another message. I know what that is, but I'm not going to talk about it right now. Right now, I mean, you want to just have fun and just forget about anything, right? Right now, we are seeing a movement into mysticism, spirituality. It's mystic, and Alice Baylor and Blavatsky and all these people said that in the end times, if you're not a mystic, you will not survive. So we're seeing the church going into mysticism, calling it revival or spirituality, but it's mysticism. So you need to look up what mysticism is. Mysticism, they always want an encounter. And we're seeing emotional, ecumenical unity of many faiths into a one-world faith system in these last days. Read the book of Revelations. I was going to read it. We don't have time. Revelation 17 and 18, you'll see the harlot church. The harlot church is going to pretend it's the church. So we're in times of testing right now. For the one-world religion to come to reality, there will be a future church. A future church, and I'm going to give you some characteristics of what the future church is doing, what it looks like. It's not going to eliminate. They're not going to get rid of the churches. They're going to use them. They're going to slowly transform it, and they have been transforming it and changing it one doctrine at a time. And I told you a couple weeks ago, now they're using our love. Everything's love. It's love. God is a God of love, but he's also a God of judgment. So if you take the judgment side, you'll be totally off balanced in la-la land, and you won't repent. And we have not taught enough on repentance to make people convicted. When you get convicted, you stop doing things. And the Bible says, you know, come as you are, come, but sin no more. They forget that part. They go, come as you are, but they don't say, and sin no more. they just condone all the sin and all the people. It's all going to be love, and it's all going to be, there's going to come a big flip with the rainbow movement. Let me tell you that. And it's coming through the churches, coming through the pastors, it's coming. But if you know it, if you've been warned about it, when it happens, you'll be braced. You'll be braced for it. You'll understand. Because we're seeing and we're going to see the harlot church take over the real church. But this future church, doesn't matter what they wear. They can put on a clerical collar. They can wear an evangelical suit. They can wear all this stuff, but it still lies. I don't care what they dress up. They can call it Christian. They can call anything Christian. Doesn't mean that it is Christian, but they just tag that name to it to make everyone think it is. Deception is his weapon, and it's going to be his final weapon. Deception. And that's why we need to know the truth and surround ourselves. If you can, find like-minded people. And if you can't find anything else, just get a couple people together. Show our YouTubes on a Friday night or something so you have fellowship. Because a lot of people are just, I can't find anyone. I don't know where to go. Every church I go to, it's just this blah, blah, blah stuff. Now, the future church and its many branches will be made up of modern words and phrases designed to connect us to the new world thinking, to get us all on the same page. And they're already doing this. Instead of repenting, the blood of Jesus, eternal life, judgment, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll have Jesus as a leader, not as the Savior and the Lord. Jesus as a good teacher. We'll have world changers. We heard that before. World changers. We'll have enlightenment. We'll be evolving, going to the next level. That's what we were always taught. You're going to go to the next level. The next level. We're there now. Okay, now we're going to the next level. They just always have this carrot out in front of you. And then Kingdom Now, vision casting. That's a big one. Seeker friendly. We've been through that already. You don't want the unchurched to feel uncomfortable, so you give them pablum that doesn't make them happy or sad or nothing. So this new church is going to have a new vocabulary. And this is, I'm coming back to this book again, Deas for Deception from Lighthouse Trails, The Language of New Christianity. And they say words that you think that means that you're all on the same page. But with the new spirituality, it's a different meaning, totally. Let me just tell you a couple of things. Because we have these change agents, and they bring in a new kind of so-called Christianity. And now it's in the halls of Christian colleges. Did you get that? Seminaries, evangelical churches, small groups, ministries, and organizations, they are now having a new language. And this is a big part of it right away, is this new language. And feelings take priority over scriptures. Pulpit charisma rules, congregations steeped in modern culture. So some of the words are absent of thought, the language of the new spirituality of the future church, the mental state sought after those practicing contemplative prayer. Contemplative prayer is rising in churches, or meditation by repeating a word or phrase or concentrating on the breath prayers, or an object. The mind goes into an altered state of consciousness, and all thought becomes absence. You quit thinking. Well, the Bible tells us not to lose our minds. He said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. The renew it. Don't lose it. And that's what we were taught. Just yield. Just yield. Don't think. Don't think of, you know. Wow. Don't give your mind away. I'm just going to go through a couple of this. Ancient wisdom. You might be hearing this. The supposed laws of the universe. Everything's the God of the universe. When mastered, enabled one to control one's own reality. Another word for metaphysics or occultism. It's interesting. I was listening to an interview by that Kelsey Grammer. Is that his name? And he said he was into metaphysics. I thought, interesting. Take note. As above, so below signifies that God is in everything and man is divine. Used in the Eugene Peterson's book, The Message Bible in the Lord's Prayer. We've talked on that before. Awakening. Everyone talking about awakening. Do you know what they mean by awakening? Waking up to the realization that he is God, that divinity is within him. So you wake up to the divinity within you. You awaken to the God within. Awakening each other to God who's already there. Find out who you are. Richard Foster is a big one into this. To awaken God's people through mysticism, encounters, enlightenment, evolving. It's time to evolve. How do you evolve? Breath prayer. Some of you are hearing this. Practice consisting of picking a single word, short phrase, and repeating it in conjunction with the breath. Rick Warren encouraged the use of breath prayers in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Another one you're going to hear a lot about is Christ consciousness. Taught by the New Ages to be the state of awareness reached in meditation in which one realizes one's own divinity again and oneness with God, thereby becoming a Christ or an enlightened being. I think Oprah preached on this before. Christian yoga. Some claim that yoga can be neutralized by performing a Christian rendition of it, but even Hindu yogis say there is no such thing as Christian yoga because the exercise cannot be separated from the religious aspects. Yoga is the heartbeat of Hinduism. Okay, I think that's about all. And then ecumenicalism, which is joining all of the religions together, all the denominations, and it dilutes biblical faith. And it joins in everyone else. That's ecumenical, and that's what we're seeing a very huge move into, is ecumenicalism. Now, the paradigm shift in emergent and progressive, these are the new vocabularies. When you hear a lot about, we need a paradigm shift in the church. This is them trying to bring in their new doctrines and their new vocabulary. So when they have all this new vocabulary, the old people, the ones that are trying to stick with the Bible, they call them outdated, they're unenlightened, they're non-progressive, they're spiritual has-beens. You're just an old dud. So they change the vocabulary. So watch the words, the new words, because they're going to slip stuff in and you're thinking it's okay, but they're really changing in a lot more than you think. And the second one is the use of new translations and paraphrases, where references to Jesus' lordship, the cross, and the blood of Jesus are just removed. Instead, a quest for experiences will become a gateway to massive deception. So once you start going in with another spirit, you're opening up the door to the New Age, to all these different things, you get another spirit. And when I was in this revival thing, then all of a sudden you have visions, and now you're hearing voices. And you're thinking all these voices that you're hearing are from God. And it's a very dangerous, very, very dangerous situation as one experience opens up the door to another one. And this is what they want. They want you to have visions. They want you to have an encounter. They want you to have a direct revelation from God. And then everyone's hearing from God. If you challenge and you try to test or ask questions, you're a Pharisee. They say, and you're putting God in a box. Now, the future church, degree by degree, what happens is the bar of truth just keeps getting lower and lower and lower. It's lowered to let the unchurched feel at home, and they're only going to have positive messages, nothing negative. Don't preach and make anyone uncomfortable. That's part of the Holy Spirit's job, is to convict us. And if you've lost your conviction, you need to get right with God, because he should convict you. When you do something wrong, you should feel bad about it. And that's a good thing, that you have a tender conscience. You should feel, well, am I honoring God? Does this please God what I'm doing? It's a church that asks no questions, raises no standard, and requires no repentance, no challenge, and no conviction. This is the future church. This is where they're trying to take everyone. Come as you are. the new banner for this church will be, but never adds, go and sin no more. They don't talk about sin. And they'll usually say, you know how to sin, so we don't want to talk about sin. But sometimes we need some of those old messages that tell us, you know, read the Bible and just say, wow, you know, have you forgiven? Forgiving isn't easy. You have to forgive those that hurt you. You know, forgive. If you won't stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any. You know, if you don't forgive people, God can't forgive you. The future church will be involved in social and political causes. It's all part of the plan. And we watch the evangelicals and the political movement join together, and people think there's nothing wrong with it. This is all part of the plan of the future church. So the vocabulary, the Bibles are going to change. They're going to be involved in social things. It's more important. And some social things are good, but not to the expense of you're not preaching the Bible anymore. Now you're replacing it with these social things and political things. And another big part of the future church, which the Bible warns, I read about it, lying signs and wonders. This is going to be the drawing card. This future church wants encounters and experiences. I can't say that enough or many times, too many times, because it's all going to be about visitation, encounters. You're what's happening to you. You've got to have an experience. And I'm already hearing about it. These churches are experiencing. You're just going to feel this. You're going to feel. And we do feel things sometimes. We do feel the presence of God. You know, when I pray with people, I feel like I know God's hearing. And I did. I felt something, you know. But you don't base your whole walk on feelings, because then you're going to want the next feeling to be better than that. It's almost like a drunk. You got to keep on, and then you got to have more to feel as good as you did. Well, that's how this religious high is. You want more experiences. First a trickle, then a stream, then a flood, or fall supernatural events. And we're seeing some churches now, they call themselves the supernatural ministry of so-and-so. That is a red flag, because you're going right into the enemy's territory there. And unfortunately, many believers that are sincere, and I can say we were all sincere, all of us came out of that these movements. We were hungry, we were zealous, we wanted God, but we had no leaders telling us, beware of this, test this. I never heard a message on testing the spirits. Nobody would even, I don't even think they knew what a spirit was. A church open to anything is going to be sucked in to what is coming. I'm just going to let, what happens, I want this, I want that. If you're not testing the spirits, testing the fruit, you're going to be open to anything. And I want to spare you from that, because I have been through these moves, one of them, another one I kind of missed, but the second one I was involved in it heavily and got the Spirit on me and thought it was God flowing through me. And oh yeah, I had signs and wonders. And I'm not saying God can't do some things, but this was a movement of another spirit. And most people just will accept anything from God without questioning it. And I just want to say, question. There's nothing wrong with testing, questioning. One of the things that I wish I would have tested was they'd always call fire, 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 lay hands on fire, fire. That's not even scriptural. They wanted to call fire from heaven, and Jesus said, no, that was like a punishment. That was not a good thing to call fire down. Fire is to burn up the chaff. And they were calling it like it's, you know, God's more, he said he's like water. He's living water. He's not fire. That's, everything was fire. Everything was fire, fire, fire. Oh, yes, it's just so sad. But we went through those things. Those days we thought it was God. Experience and feeling have become Lord. Well, I feel it's God and I'm going to do it. God told me. God, and you put the God card on something, and you know, who's going to question? You know, it's like, well, God told me to do this. You know, God told me, I could tell a story right now, but I'm not going to. We are to test the spirits, test every experience, every voice. I heard voices I thought were God, but now that I look back, it's like that didn't even make any sense, and that it was so real and so clear and so loud. I probably would have died saying that was God if I wouldn't have learned what deception was. But those voices and experiences are real, but they're not from God. So test every experience, every voice, every dream, every vision or revelation. Because this is the day where encounters are going to rule. Come to church and have an encounter. And that's going to draw a lot of young people in, especially the Harry Potter stuff that went on before. People want to dabble into this witchcraft. They want power. This stuff just gets people in. So the New Age teachers had an experience or voice that claimed to be God. These experiences overrule all common sense and reason, and it doesn't even agree with the Bible. When everyone was calling fire, 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 oh, I want the fire, I want the fire. That wasn't even scriptural to call it on fire. It's like, well, it seemed like he got results, so I'm going to try it. Oh, I'm almost done here. Beware of teachers saying we need open heavens and getting visitations from angels. Oh, this angel came and talked to me, and this angel. And also people that are talking to their dead loved ones. This guy just heard a testimony how he said he did the rosary over the grave of this guy, talking to him, I want to do this movie in your name. Give me a sign. These are all things that we're not supposed to be asking for. This is necromancy. This is talking to the dead. In Deuteronomy 18, read that. It's necromancy in Christian clothing. The dead are sealed up. You're going to get a familiar spirit. But when you talk to dead people, Abraham visited me. That's not the Lord. No, he's given us the Bible. Well, that's not good enough. I want something. People want something that's going to make them feel good. And we do. We like feelings. But you can't base, because what's coming to these churches, I'm telling you, I can see what's coming. It's going to be so deceptive, and you're not going to be able to help people once they're in it, because they are trapped into this emotion, this feeling, this high. And they think it's God, and until they want to come out of it, or until that move is over, or they start seeing a lot of the stuff we saw in the last one, boy, I've had enough of those fake revivals. Yeah. And one of the things is, they advertise it. Everything is perfectly planned to come out at the same time.
Yeah.
It couldn't be God because it's too pre-planned.
Right.
Everywhere. Same thing with this. All the pastors had to get together, so the pastors were at this move, so we all would give it to our churches. I mean, it's very well planned out, and it caused a lot of division. And lastly, I think maybe I already said this, but there's been a shift from true word-based Christianity to an experience-based false Christianity. The shift has manifested in the charismatic and the Pentecostal movements. They're saying they want the mantle of William Branham. Oh, no, you don't. I've studied him, and I've also exposed some of the stuff he was into. He's another one talking to the angels, doing all this stuff. The charismatics thought this guy was mantle was of God. I did too at one time, and I did a whole research on it. I couldn't believe it. It's like, we just pass on things because we've heard it. So we pass that on. Well, yeah, we want that anointing, that supernatural signs and wonders like William Branham. No, you don't. Because it was not the Spirit of God. And this shift, direct revelation, everyone everywhere is going to hear from God. They have a vision to prove it. Emotion-driven worship, it's all about the experience. Are you really worshiping God, or are you worshiping the music? And ecumenicalism, unity at all cost, is their mantra. This is the shove we're into now. We have a shift from the word to experience and into encounters. And what do we say to all this? God told us. He told us. He let us know this was coming. He said, let no man deceive you. And it might not seem as exciting, but there's something I've learned through being in all this emotional. It's just good to be solid, to be steady, to know God's with you. You don't have to run across the world to get a touch from God. He's with you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He said he'll meet our needs according to his riches and glory. We trust him, right? I don't have to have fire. I don't have to have all this laugh. I mean, I literally laughed for 2 hours. I was one that when I go in, I'm in. I'm in all the way. Whatever spirit was, I had it, man. I had it. They carried me over to these preachers' house. I mean, I literally was in. I thought this was God. I was good. Everyone was in it. I want to be in it too. And I didn't make it up. It was a real false experience that I thought was God. And many, many over the whole world has experienced this and come out with the same conclusions. I know a few people that are still in it. Some friends we tried to help. They're still on their Facebook. They're going to all these laughing moves. I'm telling you, it isn't a time to laugh. It's a time to weep. It's a time to get saved. And I love joy. I like being happy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But I don't want some spirit making me have an emotional high and encounter that's not from the Lord. Amen. Father, we thank you for discernment. We all need discernment. And I pray that people that are young would listen to this, that they would have wisdom from some of the falls that we've made. The righteous man falls 7 times, but he rises again. We rise again. Don't condemn yourself. Put yourself down. You've repented. Rise again with more knowledge and say, you got me once there, but you're not going to get me again. So, Father, that's what I pray for everyone that's listening, that they wouldn't be too hard on themselves. But going into what's coming now, we need to know who's teaching you. What are these people? Where are they from? What are they believing? What agenda are they pushing? Because we want to be part of the true church. The true church, not the false church. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen. If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison, and also her backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her. Be sure to check out her YouTube playlist for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org webpage and click on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching, and see you next time.